Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Chrysler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
This is Progressive Radio Network, and this is Cheater and the Rood. I am Jeff Chrysler, the cheater.
And I am Lee Papa, the writer of the blog, The Rood Pundit. And you know what, Jeff?
What?
We're back in the studio together.
We are back in the studio. You know, we need a song that's like the song that was on before us, the Pure Imagination.
Yes, yes, just to represent us back together.
I guess we do have music. That
yeah, we do.
We do have a song.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care for the show, so I don't listen to it.
No.
Too soon, everybody. Too soon.
So we're both back from extended vacations.
I wouldn't call what I did a vacation. I just, my life is generally speaking able to accommodate trips to relaxing places periodically due to my lack of consistent. You're really pretty, Lee. Lee, by the way, everyone has his feet up. He's been out west, Colorado, Seattle, wherever the internet can reach.
Yes, I've been to, I've been whitewater rafting.
Pure imagination.
Mountain climbing. And just because it was a D-bag thing to do and the opportunity was there, I was wave running out on a lake for 2 days.
That is a D-bag thing. What a typical D-bag, like those wave runners, the personalized motor craft as they're called. Or watercraft. It's just obnoxious, it's loud, and they don't pay attention to the rules of the water. So, congratulations, Rude. You are now ein D-Baggen.
No. It was pretty much an empty lake. In the middle of the Cascades. Mm-hmm. Staying at a house with a hot tub.
Cascades, is that like the Seattle area equivalent of the Finger Lakes?
No, it would be part of the Rockies. It would be, you know, mountains.
Really?
The Cascades, yeah, it's part of the Rockies. It goes all the way up.
Hmm.
Didn't know that?
I didn't. Does Cascade, the cleaning fluid, have a mountain range on it?
I believe it does.
Someone out there, Google that and let me know. So, that's nice. You're relaxing, and if you weren't too embracing the daily chaos that is America right now, the world.
You know... Vacations put things in perspective.
Mm.
They make you realize that there's just a whole lot in this world that just doesn't matter.
All of it?
Well, a lot of it. Hell of a lot of it. Let me adjust here. That's better.
You know what I like about Lou? Forget it. I was going to create a world where you were just able to remove your pants by flexing your stomach muscles, because that's kind of what it sounded like you did.
Yep, that's what I did. Honestly, I came back and, you know, I took a few days off from blogging, which thank you very much, Jeff, for contributing to that.
Oh, yeah, it was one of the best guest blogs of the week.
Yes, and then I started thinking about all the things that are so... Not that the world is beautiful or that I was so disconnected or any blah, blah bullshit like that, but mostly just that you know what it is? You know what it is?
What is it?
You just, after a while, you know, when you're staring at Mount Rainier, when you're out in the middle of nowhere, and there's so many stars in the sky.
Oh, yeah, stars.
You just realize how little you can actually do.
Yeah. I always wonder why we don't spend more time grabbing the ground and screaming since we're hurtling through space at 75,000 miles an hour. That always tends to cross my mind in the middle of my
really?
Speck in the cosmos.
Really? Moments. It wasn't that I'm insignificant. I don't feel insignificant. There are certainly people to whom I am significant.
Don't overestimate our relationship.
God damn it, Jeff. You always disappoint me.
Da-na-na.
You always disappoint me.
Da-na-na.
But I just, you know, I sit here listening to Rick Perry blather on about, you know, whatever Texas inbred hick bullshit he's going to talk about, Or I listen to Michelle Bachmann get all, you know, nasally harridan on whatever bullshit she's going to tell you. Probably evolution also. Probably they're all just talking about evolution. This whole fucking campaign is now coming down to who believes most in creation.
Well, that's just for now. They're going to move on to all the other let's move the country backwards type things. It'll be evolution. It'll be global warming. It'll be science. It'll be thumbs. So it's just a matter of time.
So I'm flying, and then as if to punctuate the whole thing, as if to punctuate how this fatalistic viewpoint that I have begun to develop here.
Well, I don't know if it's fatalism regarding the insignificance of the Republican candidates, but go on and finish your point.
Well, regarding the possibility of true change and true political. A true political discussion going on in this country. However, I'm in the plane on the way back.
Oh yeah,
on Tuesday, and you know, I'm flying into the JFK airport.
Yeah,
because that's what you do.
Yeah,
and the pilot comes on and says, "There's we just wanted to let you know there's been an earthquake centered near Washington D.C. and." It did affect the New York and New Jersey areas, and JFK Airport was closed for a while. It is reopened now, so the flight will not be delayed, but we just want to let you folks know what's going on.
You were in the air during the earthquake?
I was in the air.
So you didn't feel it, I assume.
I did not feel the earth move. I was probably drunk at that point.
I felt it move. I had just put on a tie for the second time all year, and I was looking at my bookshelf where my printer is, and it was shaking, which happens when the printer works. I was like, am I printing something? And then I turned and I saw that the rest of the room was shaking, as was the deck, as was the house next door. I'm like, I live in San Francisco. This is an earthquake. I should get in a doorway. So I walked over a doorway. Then I was like, oh, that's my coffee over there. So I went and got back my coffee, and I stood in the doorway. Then I was like, you know what? I kind of wonder what my neighbors are doing about this earthquake, because they don't know. They're East Coast rubes, as I am too. So I walked down my rickety stairs, which are, as you've been in my house, they're basically made of balsa wood and bubble gum. And I went outside and I looked and I said, oh, this is a good place to stand an earthquake right by all the brick buildings. I can drop off their bricks. That was my earthquake. Then I went and I was going to write, or I might have even wrote, hey, did we just see an earthquake? But I realized it was going to be a douche apocalypse on Twitter and Facebook with A, people being, was there an earthquake? And, oh, Michelle Palin must have just, yeah, I said that, must have just declared evolution not something. And then there was going to be people from the West Coast saying, shut up. And then there was going to be, like, babies in Africa saying, we're being slaughtered and starved. I didn't want to go read all that on Twitter.
And I hate when those African babies start whining about being starved and slaughtered.
At Darfur. We get it. You're hungry.
Oh, my
Shut
God.
Up.
You know what? I'm sorry. At this point, I'm losing. That's the other thing is I find my compassion nerve has sort of been overworked.
We're overwhelmed right now. Like, there is a sense, and you and I, think, started this conversation recently about with social media, potentially an impact on it. Like, we're so overwhelmed with the news of everything and everybody having their opinion that in some ways taking the time to formulate our own opinion, our own passion about different items, it just doesn't seem worth it, because in a way someone else is going to have something to say about it. It's not like the world's not going to have an opinion about whatever Perry says or Kardashian's dress at the wedding, or all the range of insignificant minutia. That's a new word. I mean, that's like three words today.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
If we don't chime in, because I feel the same way. Like, when I'm away, it's like you get a sense of, like, shit, I'm going to miss something. And then you see what you miss and you're like, yeah. Because, okay, what was, like, can we even guess, like, a week and a half ago, what was the crazy shit that Michelle Bachmann did? I don't know, but you know she did some crazy shit. So why not just have an overall feeling she has crazy shit?
Didn't she blow a corn dog? Wasn't that what she did? Or I don't remember.
Yeah. You know, back when I started comedy, that would be what you'd call a successful night on the road, when someone blew a corn dog. You know, let me ask this. Palin, Bachmann, Perry.
Yeah.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, apparently a giant rat we're going to talk about.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Palin, Bachmann, and Perry, who was the fourth horseman of the apocalypse?
Oh, wow. That's good. Who's thinking of getting in? Who else is
Does Pat Robertson count as a horseman, or is he he's like the announcer for the horse race?
No, he's a jackass. No, I do not know who the fourth horseman is. It's got to be some other, you know, teabag loser.
Yeah, but that's too easy.
It is?
It could be. Maybe it's Muammar Gaddafi. By the way, should we be disturbed that Muammar Gaddafi has a Condoleezza Rice fetish, or does that just show how...
why don't you explain what that means?
Yeah, Muammar Gaddafi. They found a photo album of Condoleezza Rice pictures in one of his compounds. I don't know if it was his main house or just his whack shack. And
that's right. They were laminated pictures that were, you know, wiped clean, although DNA tests and ultraviolet light later demonstrated just how often Colonel Gaddafi masturbated to Condoleezza Rice. As I'm not unashamed to say, I have too.
But did you do it out of a sense of wishing that you could be with her because you felt like you were an equal and that you felt like she held up an example for how you should rule your country? Because that's what I think he did.
No.
I think he looked at Condoleezza Rice and the Bush administration and said, those guys get it. Oh, Jesus, those guys get it.
No. I just like her because she's a pianist.
Na-na-na.
So we've also got a hurricane coming, Jeff.
Yeah, man. I live in a flood zone. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, the fun part about it is...
you know, by the way, this is like a show on lewds or something.
Yeah, no, for us it is very... No, but for PRN, we're still like amped up, I think. We're just like, oh, fire up those kids today with their 5 words a minute. That's how people talk.
Really, really?
Yeah. Because I've decided that following the Trachtenberg girl, we should pretend that all of the hosts are old. That makes total sense, right?
I think so.
I'm really old.
This will totally make sense to our podcast viewers. Viewers? Listeners. What do podcast people do?
They masturbate to laminated internets.
Wow. Yes, hurricane. You're in a flood zone. What's going to happen there?
There's going to be water. I know it's really exciting, and maybe this is why I'm mellow, is I'm also having a medical procedure done on Friday, which, by the way, I need done, and I still have to pay a bunch out of because I have my insurance to share. But hey, look, I have medical insurance. That means I can prevent myself from dying because the insurance will pick up part of the cost.
So if you didn't have insurance, you would not be getting this procedure?
I think I might consider going to the emergency room and making the American public pay for it.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
But pay full price, because when you're not part of the insurance, you don't get the negotiated rates.
Right.
Or if it's single payer, you'd have negotiated rates. But that's just crazy talk. I mean, what good is insurance and healthcare done to anybody? Da-na-na. So what I'm excited for is having this medical procedure and then being unable to do anything when the hurricane, because I'm not supposed to like move basically for 3 days.
Right. So you're going to be that, in the movie, you're going to be that tragic victim that's laying there on the couch as the water rises and you're calling for somebody to help you. And
no, I'm not going to call for anybody to help me.
No, you're just going to accept your fate at that point.
I just feel like, you know what? I got an opportunity to make up Michelle Palin as a person unintentionally, but yet it felt right. I've lived a full life.
Yeah.
I mean, we commented about the important stuff. We've been here asking, would you rather, talking about sex with various body parts of various presidential candidates.
Right. We shouldn't have probably smoked all that dope before coming on the air, but I'm...
Bro.
No, we didn't smoke dope before going on the air. No, because Jeff's got a heart condition. He's not allowed to smoke anything anymore.
My heart is too big. They actually found out that I'm too giving.
I'm too
considerate of other people.
So, I've been through a few hurricanes.
Yes, tell me, where were you for Katrina?
Well, Katrina, I was far away. But I was up here for Katrina.
Hurricanes, too.
Yeah, no, you've been through hurricanes?
Yeah, my junior high football team was called the Hurricanes. But that's neither.
So you've been through a few of your junior high football players? Jeff, is there anything else you'd like to share? Man, I tore through them like Katrina through New Orleans. I
did a lot of pass protection and ass. Anyway, I have been in...
Ass infection? What was the law?
I don't know. I was on some tropical-ish place for either a very bad tropical storm or a very easy hurricane?
Oh, blow me. I've been through like 4 or 5 hurricanes. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo.
You talking about the drink?
No. I'm talking about... I lived in Louisiana.
Lee, now is the time for a new segment called Lee Talks About His Storm Experience. Lee talks about his storm experience. So, Lee, I hear you've been in some storms.
I have been in some storms. I have actually driven...
Oh, yeah.
In a hurricane.
If you know what I mean.
That's right. Not the way you did with your junior high football players. I hope you were still in junior high at that point.
Do you think Chris Christie's declared a state of emergency for this hurricane because he's afraid he's going to run out of cheesecake?
Yes, that's exactly why. Yeah. I think he's declared.
Did you run out of cheesecake in your hurricanes?
I was in Louisiana. We did not. We thought cheesecake was just something...
elitist?
Something elitist and gay. So, and by gay, I mean homosexual, not...
joyous.
Not something pejorative or joyous. Hurricane Andrew, I believe it was. No, was it Andrew that I drove through? No.
Cheesecake? You're not going to get a heart attack till you're 40. That's gay. Was that how you guys dealt with it? I'm just trying to think about cheesecake.
What the hell?
All right. The point is, if cheesecake was... Go on, I was listening. I don't remember where you were. I wasn't listening.
No. But the worst part is when the power's out, and especially if you're in Louisiana in August.
A little toasting?
Yes. And then you start to hate all the people you're with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's the snakes that go in the water. There's all kinds of stuff. In other words, New York, you're panicking. I understand. New Jersey, if you're on the shore, you should probably be panicking a lot. Long Island should probably shit itself a little bit.
Flood zones?
Right. But you know what? For the most part, you're going to be okay.
Because no matter what happens, you've still got the theater. And that's what's nice about living in New York. I'm just saying, you were complaining that you were stuck in the hot August with your people that you know in your little town, and I was implying that if you're stuck without power in New York, the cultural center of the world, at least you've got Mamma Mia. And it's like cooling of the spirits. Like, you don't need... You got cheesecake that's going to go bad. Like, you're just out there with plastic sporks.
You're at sports watching Mamma Mia.
Are there non-plastic sporks? Like, are there, like, people that make
are there
silver?
Metals? Are there metal sporks?
That I don't would know. Be, someone else looked that up.
That
would be
a dangerous tool, wouldn't it?
How is it more dangerous than a fork that's metal?
Well, a fork just jabs you. A spork, you can actually, like, a metal spork, you can, like, scoop somebody's eyes out. Hey, why don't we take a break from this scintillating conversation?
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this break. Listening live to the Progressive Radio Network. This is Cheetah on the Road. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. You can tune in and hear Jeff Chrysler, that's me, and Lee Papa, that's him, talk about stuff.
Like. Okay, I got to tell you this story.
Break it down.
So this guy is like an exterminator, super something like that. In a building in Queens, somebody's complained about giant rats.
That's in a big rat, mister.
You thought you were going to have some momentum, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I thought I was going to have some narrative thrust there for a second. But no, thank you, Jeff, for just shitting all over my narrative thrust.
Just like the Tea Party. See, we're about politics. Go on!
So the guy takes... No. This is about politics. Because this guy takes a pitchfork. A pitchfork. Now, first of all, why do you have a pitchfork in Brooklyn?
Well, first of all, you said it was Queens before. But
no, it's Brooklyn. It's okay. Brooklyn, not Queens. Well, guy, you distracted me.
It's fine. It's, why do you have a pitchfork? Brown people.
Okay, well, he was a brown person, though. So he goes into the basement and...
I mean, people that are tan.
And he goes into the basement and he sees what he claims are three-foot-long rats.
That's a big rat.
And he stabs one. And he gets it. He kills it. And he takes it out, and there's a picture in the Daily News of this guy with this Ghanaian pouch rat or something like that. Now, that's not bad enough. I just want you to know, Jeff, that that's not bad enough.
What makes it better or worse?
Those rats,
yeah,
which have been banned from the United States since the early 90s, carry monkeypox.
Nice.
So we have had an earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
A hurricane. And now, monkey fucking pox.
So what you're saying is we're 30% through the 10 plagues.
Yes. Excellent. Yes.
Now, what I think is actually going on here, I think that guy, the super, if you will, that discovered that kind of, in a way, invented the giant rat with the monkey pox, is going to succeed Steve Jobs. He's already got this whole, like, let's bring something that isn't an American
normal.
Ooh,
that's good. Is it the iPox?
It could be, or the rat pox, because he wants to make it his own. He doesn't want to stick with the eye thing and so associated with Jobs, so he wants to make it his own. But it's a unique thing that can only be found by hip Brooklyn people.
Right.
And it's got, like, this operating system, which
it's got
is...
It's got third world country street cred.
Yeah.
It's from Ghana.
Yeah. Much like those advertisements, which are just silhouettes, this will presage a nuclear holocaust, which will leave us all as just silhouettes.
Ooh, nice. Keep going.
If you put it in your ear, you'll dance around screaming. And,
If you stick a three-foot rat in your ear, you'll just stand.
Yeah, like you're doing with the iPods.
That's good.
And I'm sure this guy's going to end up with some terrible disease like Steve Jobs has.
Yes, that's true. So
that's pretty. So what you're saying to me is the whole horseman of the apocalypse thing isn't that far fetched.
No,
Glenn Beck's over in Jerusalem doing his Messiah waking up thing.
Oh yeah, that's right. Glenn Beck did that for 4,700 people.
It does. It feels like end days.
It does, and maybe that's why I felt so secure. In the middle of the mountains, away from everything. Maybe I need to become a crazy survivalist. Maybe I just need to go out and, you know, get all the food I need and just go wave running on a lake for the rest of my life.
Yeah, wave running. That's a real survivalist.
Hell yeah. Hells yeah.
No, there is something to that. I also, as you may remember from a call that we, or a show we did a couple of weeks ago, I was at a lake for part of my time, and it is a wonderful feeling to get up and go to the supermarket and stock up for the weekend, and then all weekend I don't have to go out to the store because I went to this store. There is something to being able to defend your family and provide and just...
Why do you think... Why is it just the hurricane, earthquake, and monkeypox?
And Palin.
Well, but what has brought us to this point? Why are we so filled with despair right now?
I mean,
usually we're jovial people, Jeff.
Cheater
and the Rude is actually filled with joy, you know, and we take the misery, the clay of misery, and we form a clown out of it. It might be a sad clown, but it's still a clown. A sad clown is still entertaining. But now it's just a lump sitting there of despair.
I think it's because, bear with me, I think it's because the audience we make that clown for has now said, lo, yeah, it's a clown. My point being, I think as progressives, we've spent a long time saying, this country's pretty good, but there's a lot of problems. And the message that what we've had to say is there's a lot of problems. There's problems, let's fix it. There's problems, let's fix it. There's problems, let's fix it. And it hasn't been heard because of the jingoistic, patriotic right that has marched ahead and cut taxes for the rich and gone to war with other countries without paying for it and done the prescription drug thing without paying for it and all that. And in the last 2.5 years, as they tend to do, the other side of the country, the right, because they don't like the leader, has suddenly come out and said there are problems in this country. There are problems in this country. And so... we spend so long trying to get people to pay attention to the problems that all of a sudden people are paying attention to problems. It's not the same problems, but everybody is sort of saying there are problems. And I think that that, like, at least on a political dialogue level, gives a sense that everyone thinks there are problems. There isn't that, whether it's blind or informed or not, there isn't that sense of kind of this pure optimism, everything's great out there. There's no voice saying right now, everything's perfect, which there always was when the right was in power, because that's what they want you to believe. Plus, the economy's kind of in the shitter, and there's a sense that, you know what, no one knows what to do. Or not no one knows what to do, but no one's going to be able to fix this. You know, like...
I want to tell you what Republicans see as what the world was like. So,
Is this a Florida related thing?
Yes, it is.
Break it down for
Marco
me.
Rubio.
Marco Rubio.
Who and that's not an inappropriately racist accent, because he is in fact of Cuban descent.
He tried to kill Nancy Reagan.
Yes. What? Okay, and so he was speaking at the Reagan Library.
Nancy Reagan fell, and he caught her at this thing, at this, like, sometime over the course of
it. He's a senator from Florida and a Republican, and he said about Social Security, Medicare, and other social safety net programs, and I will not do this in an offensive accent,
I'll do some music in the background.
Why don't you do some...
He's not Mexican! What else am I going to do? Make the sound of making sangria? Like, that's... He's not
that's not even Cuba! What the hell? At least mojitos!
Clink, clink.
Yeah, there we go. These programs clink, actually clink. Weakened us as... as a people. You see, almost forever, it was institutions in society that assumed the role of taking care of one another. If someone was sick in your family, you took care of them. If a neighbor met misfortune, you took care of them. You saved for your retirement. Because, you know, everybody had the money to pay for chemotherapy or for cancer treatment. No. You know why you could take care of them? Because
why?
We could just let them fucking die. That's why. So, you know what? You can pay for somebody to get a broken limb hacked off. Mm-hmm. I mean, what world is he talking about here?
Crazy guy down the street would loan you his leeches.
You saved for your retirement and your future because you had to. We took these things upon ourselves and our communities, our families and our homes and our churches and our synagogues. But all that changed when the government began to assume those responsibilities.
Right, like the government, was the government the ones, the big companies that said that will contribute and pay and guarantee your deferred pensions? Was the government the ones that raided the pension funds and then had their company collapse and ask the workers to renegotiate.
But here's the thing.
But wait, you go.
Go, go, you
we
go.
We got a minute and a half.
No,
you go.
No,
you're
no, you
no.
go. You go.
This is why we don't get anything fixed in this country.
That's right. This is what liberals do.
Even the rude is polite.
All right, so fuck you. You hear that and you and I think, that's utter bullshit. That is a fantasy that never existed. People didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the right hears it and goes, oh, yes, oh, yeah, that's the America I want. And they just take that fantasy America, and it's just like a latex doll that they just bend over and just have their way with it. Just fucking that latex doll fantasy America, man.
All while making sure they get their non-means-tested Social Security. All while making sure that they find all the loopholes to exploit. It really is. It is a system. You know, Michelle Bachmann, Perry... they take the government. All the big titans of industry, they got that way by taking advantage of government subsidies and loopholes.
This
is another conversation.
Let me just give you the punchline here.
Boom.
It was at the Reagan Library that he gave this speech.
Mm-hmm.
And what president is given credit for saving Social Security back in the 1980s?
I'm going to guess... Cesar Chavez.
No, in fact, it was Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan,
And he did it by raising taxes.
You know what? If Reagan and George H.W. Bush can raise taxes, why can't Obama, the most liberal, communist, fascist, or whatever he is, leftist ever?
Either way, though, you've been listening to Cheater and the Rude.
On Progressive Radio Network.
And you'll be no, Jesus, God! Oh, Greg, I hate you!
Now we have to do another 20 minutes of the show to watch.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
We'll be here every Thursday. We deserve this.
Where is our badass end I worked so hard choosing our badass end music, and now Greg has given us...
Well, we're still talking.
Ah, thank you.
See you guys.